Gracious Master, we thank you, Lord, once again for making it possible for us to come to your house this morning. We appreciate you because you have known that today will be this way. Heavenly Father, that we will be gathering in your house, Lord, for Easter season. You foreknew each and every one of us that will be within this auditorium at this very hour. Lord, you have also ordained a blessing unto us, and we are grateful to you. Lord, thank you for the service of yesterday, what you use it to accomplish in our lives. It's our prayer, O Master, that your Spirit will continue to water that word in our hearts to bring forth fruit of righteousness. Because when you send your word, you have a purpose. Master, we are very grateful. We know that purpose cannot fail, but it will surely be accomplished in the lives of your people. Lord, because when you send your word, you send it to your people for their benefit. We thank you for the Holy Ghost baptism. Thank you for deliverance. Lord, thank you for healing. Thank you for the grace to know you better, to know your way better. We are here this morning. Lord, we want you to bless us also. We pray for more revelation, for more understanding. Heavenly Father, Lord, and the grace to surrender ourselves unto you. Oh Lord God, the reason why you make yourself known to us, Master, is that we might be your representatives. Lord, let this be accomplished in our life this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, wherever is remaining in our lives, that whatever area of our lives yet untouched, Heavenly Father, may you bring perfection today. Graciously, let your word be accomplished in our lives, Lord. May we see you come down and touch us, Lord. Jehovah, that we might have the witness of resurrection. Lord, we are not gathering to a form. We are not gathering to a cunningly devised fable, to an whole story, to a God of yesterday. We are gathering to a living God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are able to do more than you did yesterday, today. We are in expectation, Father. As we surrender ourselves to you, may you graciously move in our midst, speaking to our hearts, rending every stubborn heart. Lord God, breaking down every stony heart. Master, by the rod of your word, by the Spirit, by the sword of your Spirit, that you will cause every heart to surrender, to bow down before you. Oh, that you might have preeminence. Have your way, show forth your power, Heavenly Father, and stretch forth your hand, Master Savior, to break the yokes of the enemy in all areas of our lives. Grant it, everlasting Father. We know you will fill with the Holy Spirit. We know you will surely heal the sick. We know the saints will be taken to higher ground. We know we will leave the place, Father, better than we came here. Lord, that this period of Easter, the service of yesterday and today and those of tomorrow, Lord, we bring such transformation into our lives that we will remember this Easter season for good. Thank you, everlasting Father. If there be anyone without expectation, Lord God Almighty, as we continue, may you visit such individual. And as many as are having expectations in their heart, Father, it is written in your word that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. May their expectation be accomplished to your glory. At the end of the service, Lord, all glory and honor will be yours. Be with our pastor over there in Ghana and the evangelist Ature and the rest of your people everywhere. Blessed be your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. We want to welcome ourselves to the house of God. Maybe I will just say, let's sit down for a short period. We thank the Lord for yesterday, what God did in his service, and I believe that the Lord will bless us again today. I want us to, before I open the service, I have a song I want to sing, well, not to follow how Rola Femi did it. I already had that in my mind, because every song that, inspiration composed, they are connected with the message. And if you sit down with those songs, you meditate, you see that those songs are actually preaching. And so, the second song that was taken this morning. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I don't know that song so well, but I'll just read it. Let's just go through the wordings. We see the signs in the harvest, in the harvest time. That command should not be there. Harvest time. Time is at hand. Fearful sight and running waves. Time is at hand. Cross out. We'll come to the cross. The seed has become the seed again. You understand what that is talking about? Let's come back to the first answer. We see the signs in the harvest time. Time is at hand. Fearful sight and roaring waves. Time is at hand. Which time is at hand? The coming of the Lord. The rapture. That one is at hand. And the things that will precede the rapture is what this song is talking about here. We need the signs in the harvest time. This is the harvest time. God is harvesting, is preparing his children for the harvest. And this thing that will precede the time that is around, which is rapture, fearful sight and roaring waves. In our country alone, we have witnessed this. Let's go on. The seed had become seed again. That's the word that was sown in the first church age. The seed that was sown by Brother Paul, by Brother Peter, the word, that same seed that becomes seed again. In the first church age, that same seed has been replanted again in the seventh church age. This is the seventh. The seed has become seed again. The shock is pulled away. What is the shock? The denominations. They have rejected the word. The shock is pulled away. They pull away from the message. They dissociated from Brother Abraham when the word began to come. Just like they dissociated from Christ, the prophet told us that there are three pools. The three pools, the first pool, it was signs and wonders. Young prophet of Galilee. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. They were talking the same thing in the ministry of the prophet. Everybody wanted him in the assembly. Prophecy, when he was bringing forth prophecy, the second pool. The third pool, what happened? You remember the rainbow trout. How he was taught how to fish. And when the word began to come, talking about the Trinity, talking about women, covering of hair for women, talking about women must not be preachers, the true baptism of the Holy Spirit must be in the soul, the people pull away from him. They pull away. The shock is pulled away. The bride is called and sealed away. How is the bride sealed away? By the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, that sealing has not ended. Others are still being sealed. Because we are still in apostolic age. Amen? The rapture is at hand. Alright? It's harvest time and I must get what? I must get right. Because at the time of harvest, let's look at orange. You don't harvest your orange when it is still green. What happened? It will be sour. You won't enjoy it. Nobody will patronize you when your orange is green on the market. When you display it, when you is good orange, is sweet orange, but it has not matured. When it's mature, when it's ripe, become mellow, become soft, become red. I mean, yellow. That's when it's ripe. So he said, I must get ripe. Lord, hear my prayer. This is the plea. This is the prayer. This is the request. I must get ripe. Because that is what will be harvested. When a farmer goes to the farm, he's harvesting his oranges, he will only harvest the one that are ripe. What happened? He leave the one that are not ripe. The stature of a perfect man, Lord, that is my cry. That's what I want to be. I want those things in my life. And because the prophet told us that that is the man that goes in the rapture. In the sermon, the stature of a perfect man. Alright, let's move to the next. Oh Lord, here I am. Lay in the presence of the S-O-N. Presence of the sun. Let the ray of the golden strand shine on me. The ray of the world that can bring the ripeness to concentrate on me. Because it takes the ray of the sun, S-U-N, to ripen the orange. So it takes the ray of the rays of the sun outside there to ripen the orange. And the prophet said the S-U-N types the S-O-N of God. And S-O-N is the reveal word for today. So when the world goes forth, the rays go forth, when we surrender, when we move away from the leaf that will cover the orange, you move the leaf away, and the ray of the S-O-N bathes on the fruit, it will be affected. It will get ripe. To get ripe, ready for the harvest. Oh Lord, I am here. I am laying the presence of the sun. Let the ray of the golden strand shine on me. That's the chorus. That's the last. Can we sing the chorus? Oh Lord, here I am. Lay the presence of the sun. Song, I will allow us to sing it, but let's look at the wordings also. That is, can I remember it? Sometimes, this common song that we sing is still the same thing. It's also related to this. The word that is handed down. What is this? Holy word? Yeah, holy word. Oh, sorry. Holy word. Just listen and watch. Holy words, long preserved by the Spirit. For our work in this world. In other words, the word of God is giving us to walk by in this present world. Like we have always been told, that's our manual. When you buy a new car, when you buy a new phone, a new electrical gadget, there is a manual that comes with it. The manual guides you on how to use it. To be able to enjoy the facility. To maintain it in a way that you will not lose it very fast. Or that you will not use in a way that will endanger your life. If it is something that has to do with, high voltage. Or electricity that can shock. Or electrocute. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Now, don't bring that one. Okay. That, the first one, that impart means what? To affect. To bring a change about. In other words, that word, if I hear it, if a sinner hears that word, and he says, sinner, I repent from your sin because Jesus loves you. He has paid for your sins, like we had the gospel yesterday. That should impart the life of that sinner. And then the sinner repented. God promises, if you repent, I'll forgive your sins. Then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word will take effect. Because the word of God imparts. Okay? Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God, ever true. Changing me and changing you. How does it change us? It impacts our lives. And now before it can impact our lives, then we have to surrender to it. You have to surrender for that word to have effect. Just like a woman who has to surrender to the husband before she can be pregnant. Now, the married sister understands what I'm talking about. No matter how much a woman desires to be pregnant, if she moves away from her husband, she can never. Christ also must have to have spiritual intercourse with us by the way of the word. That is why the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Because that word will impact the life of that person. If the person opens the mind for it, if you surrender yourself for that word to have effect, that word will change you. It will change me. We will not remain the same. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 that if a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He will change you. We have come with open heart. You see? If we don't come with open heart, we come with a sealed heart. We come with a made up mind. Well, let them preach. I go my way. I will do what I want to do. That word will fall upon the person will hear the word. It will be as if you pour water on the back of a dog. Or many of us that grew up in the village, Kokoyam, live. No matter how much you pour water or reinforce on it, it will flow down. It won't be wet. Especially the back. The back is so coated that the front will be wet, but if rain falls on the back, you won't see a drop of you won't see a sign that water has fallen on it. Because it's designed in a way not to allow the body to be wet. Some people's hearts are like that, but if you surrender, if you turn the other side of that leaf to the rain, you will see that it will receive the water and it will be wet. The back of a dog, that's why it can swim. Take a hare, go and dip it inside water. See what will happen. It will be shivering and very soon it will die. But take a dog, pour water on it. The feather is designed in such a way that it does not get wet. That's why it can swim. If people sat like that, they repeat God's word. The word of God cannot have effect. That is why hearing word every day does not impact the life of that person. But that is not the intention of God. You've got to have your heart opened. And that is the job you are going to do. You have to understand the implication of you not opening your heart. When you understand the implication of you not opening your heart, then you will know that I must open my heart. Because God that is talking to you now is showing love. Come to me. I want to give you eternal life. Is at another realm. You will now know that this is a God of judgment. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. That's a prayer. Jackie Ororeko Shaipanino Ayemi.
Is that the last?
Only words of our faith. The faith handed down to this age that has been restored to us came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. May the Lord bless us. Let's be on our feet as we open the scripture. We'll be reading three places. First, we read Psalm 27 from verse 1 to 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. You can be seated. Then we read 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 49. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it dies. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As it is the earthy, such are they also that are healthy. And as the heavenly, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I read from verse 13 to 18. Alright, I read. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another by this word. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. We welcome you once again. May the Lord give us a blessing in this little sermon that we have before us here. I title it, The Rapture and the Requirement for Body Change. The Rapture and the Requirement for Body Change. Let me just read first. Reading from Impersonation of Christianity, preaching 1957, January 20. I read from paragraph 100. Now, Christ doesn't anoint ministers to preach the gospel just to have it returned back to him. Void. You know, that's Isaiah 55. But he expects you to receive the word, and when receiving the word, be ready. Take that old cowhide you've been living in over there. Paragraph 100. 57, January 20. Paragraph 100. And when receiving the word, be ready. Take that old cowhide you've been living in over there. that old former condition and swap it off for a sheepskin that is flexible to the word of God. Everything the Bible says, everything the Bible says, you will say amen. Alright? You couldn't get it? 57:01:20 M. Sorry, I didn't say M. Oh, that's in the morning. Sorry. Christ doesn't anoint minister to preach the gospel just to have it return back to him, boy. Return back to him. Who? That's God. So the reason why gospel goes forth, why we had what we have had yesterday, and the one we've been hearing all along, God's intention is not for minister to preach the gospel, just to have that same gospel return back to God. According to Isaiah 55, he said, the word that has gone forth out of my mouth shall not return to me void. It will return to God in accomplishment. It will accomplish the purpose why God sent it. So, it will preach the gospel just to have it return back to him void. You see? He said, but he expects you. Who expects you? Expects me. God expects us to receive the word. And when we receive the word, we should be ready. Take that whole cow hide. That stubborn nature. That you've been living here over there. That old former condition. And swap it up for a sheep skin that is flexible to the word of God. Everything the Bible says, you will say amen. But it must come from the Bible. Praise be to God. Just search for rapture. Let me read the paragraph here before we move forward. Paragraph 31. Rapture. And I think that in speaking, I just don't try to get up here to say something that I think will please the people. I have never been guilty of that. Rapture. Paragraph 31. Yeah. I think that in speaking, I just don't try to get up here to say something that I think will please the people. I have never been guilty of that. I want to get up here and say something as I feel led to say that I think will be a help to you. Something that will further your experience with God if you are a Christian. And if you are not a Christian, make you so ashamed of yourself that you will become a Christian. And that is the purpose that I have always tried to line up my thoughts as the Lord will lead me. May the Lord be our help. That is the reason why we preach the gospel. Something that will help us. We are in the period of Easter. We had so much about Easter yesterday. And this, we want to look at rapture and the requirement for body change. Because the rapture that we are talking about requires you and me to be changed before we can be raptured. The rapture and the requirement for body change. What does God require for me to go in the rapture? Of course, we know basically it's Holy Ghost baptism. Of course, that is what it is. If you just want to say, what does it take me to go in the rapture? It's Holy Ghost baptism. But we cannot stop like that. Most times, you will see the sermon of the prophet. He will pray for 3 hours. But what is driving at is just a point. It's just a point. At the end of the day, he's just driving at Holy Ghost baptism, but he will preach for 3 hours. Because in the course of preaching, there are other issues that will be addressed that will help you to come to that one thing. You cannot just come and say, what you need is Holy Ghost baptism, and then let us pray. No. There are other things that need to be said. Your picture of your life has to be painted. The scripture has to paint your life to let you see your past, see your present, and see your future. See your relationship with God's word. See whether you are what the word of God says or you are not what the word of God says. That's the reason preaching, we preach. Now, the rapture that we are talking about, I'm not going to go deep into it, but we know so many things about rapture. But we know that the rapture is a promise. It is a promise of God.
And as the prophet told us that rapture, the word rapture is not even featured in the Bible. And the word cut off, catch away, is what the Bible uses. And rapture, as the prophet gave us the definition here, he says in paragraph 30 of the sermon rapture, he said, now today, speaking on this subject, and now some of you may differ the avenue that I take, but how many here believe that the Bible teaches that there will be a rapture of the church? There will be a rapture of the church. Congregation says, amen. Yes, sir. That is right. Exactly. A catching away of the church. Whether you are a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or whoever you are, Pentecostal, there will be a catching away. Praise be to God. That catching away is what is called the rapture. And we know, let me just start from there because I don't want to take much time on that so that we can address other things because of our time. The prophet made us to know that the rapture has its order. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture has its order. Now, rapture is the catching away of the, it's a supernatural, you know, a catching away of supernatural people by supernatural hand of God. Supernatural catching away of supernatural people. I use the word supernatural people because every member of the bride is supernatural. It's supernatural. And that is why they can experience supernatural. That is why they are included in the supernatural program of God. So there are three. The prophet said there is an order of the rapture, which first Thessalonians chapter 4, you can display for us, tells us that the order in which rapture is going to take place. Let's have it. You can see that. Further, from verse 13, that's where we read. Alright. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we believe he rose again, there is no doubt about that. If there be anybody this morning here who is doubting whether it is true that Jesus rose from the dead, maybe because of what you have read, what maybe traditional belief, or what you have read, or it's just the enemy that is placing unbelief in your heart to rob you of the blessing, to be able to surrender, because if unbelief, somebody does not believe something, there is no way you are going to surrender yourself to what is taught by that doctrine. But if you believe it, you are going to surrender yourself. The prophet said, if you say you believe and you don't live by it, he said, then you don't believe. We believe that he died. I was not there, but I'm a witness of it. And not only that he died, because it is true, it was true, his death that forgiveness came for me. It's by the shedding of his blood that I received pardon for my sin. And his resurrection brought confirmation of the same. His resurrection brought confirmation of the same by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. What we are talking about is not a fable. It's not a story. It was an event that happened on the face of that because God planned it. It was an event that took place on the, just like you are here at a time. You are in a school at a time. Some of us that are in secondary school now, you are in the primary school at a time. You can tell the story. So it was an event that happened on the earth at a time. The Lord Jesus Christ lived on the face of the earth according to the scripture. And he, according to the scripture, he spent 33 and a half years there. According to the scripture. And then according to the scripture, he gave his life as a propitiation for the sins of his people. And after he did that, he was buried. He died. Jesus Christ died. That is why he said, I am he that was dead, but I am alive again. I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. He confirmed it. Because he said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father. I have power to lay down my life and to take it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. As we are saying in the family of God this morning, despite all that was promised in the Bible about Jesus Christ, about his resurrection, about his birth, about the miracles he will perform, about things that will happen to him, and when he came and he began to say those things, despite all that he used his mouth to claim to say, the thing that he did, the devil still did not believe. He still did not believe. That is why, see, the devil is not a believer. He is not. He's unbelief. The devil is unbelief himself. He's darkness. Satan is total darkness. There is no single speck of light in him. The little light that the prophet put in the Laodicean church age was to show that God's representatives are here. Satan cannot have everything. Because if it is total darkness, it means that there is no seed of God here in this age. But the prophet, as a representative of God, he knows that there are, and he knows that he was sent with a message that is going to call the brother out of that darkness to walk in the light of the ghost. Hallelujah. So, despite all that Jesus Christ did and he said with his mouth, the devil did not believe, and he put unbelief in the heart of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the rest of the religious people in his day. Until after Jesus Christ was buried, they went to Pilate to tell him. As I was telling them, the family said this morning, they said that deceiver. You know, deceivers were calling God deceiver. You know, it is the one that is guilty that accuses the innocent. Look at the scripture. It has always been like that. To hide his wickedness. And that's Satan's trick. That's the way it does it. They were saying that deceiver has, he said, you know, while he was here, that you will resurrect. Why did they go and secure the... They were not believers, because look, the devil also did what they did. He came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And they went to Pilate and said, well, that deceiver said that he will rise up the third day. He said, well, please, we want to secure the place to be sure that the disciple did not come and steal him away and then be telling us that he has risen. He said, then the last error will be worse than the first. They knew they have committed error. They didn't believe. And it is the spirit of unbelief. When that spirit drops upon somebody, that person will not believe what the gospel is saying. That's why it's difficult for people to simply repent. It's a demon for somebody to hear the gospel and he's not interested and he's not understanding what is being said. See, let me tell you this. When I first of all did the water baptism, I want you to understand what I mean by what I said. I first of all did the water baptism, you know, when I had a few things about the message, and I saw truly in the scripture that water baptism should be in the name of Jesus Christ. It was on the basis of that I went for water baptism. Pastor Martin baptized me. And after that, I continued. So we came to church. So one day, somebody went for water baptism. And I was there. So that's why it's a great benefit when somebody is being baptized, you come there and pay attention. Faith comes by hearing the word. So, as the minister that was to baptize the person was talking, he was emphasizing that what God requires is you repenting of your sins and your sins of the past that you've committed. your unbelief, repent of all of the sins you have committed. You have to repent of your sins. You may not remember everything. But tonight, how did that? All your sins from the age of 12 that God has opened a record of sin for you, up to this moment that you are about to baptize, God will blot out your sins. When I heard it, that was not the reason I went for. I just believed the scripture. Okay? But that gave me a better understanding. That, oh, so my sins will be remitted. So there will not be any sin counted against me again. If I do this water baptism, that means the blood of Jesus atones for my sins. Now that from this moment onward, if God fill me with the Spirit, which that is His promise, then He takes over my life. But if I have to wait, you know, for sanctification and the rest of it, whatever sin I commit, I have to make it right. I told the person, I said, I want to redo my water baptism. Well, that may not appeal to you, but it meant something to me. Remember, at every point in time, God speaks to us. At every point, at the right time. If I didn't go with that person to water, are you getting me now? You see, there's an understanding of the gospel. You know, recently we preached on, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The gospel is the truth. All you need to know what God is talking about. That's why the prophet said, the discernment of what you have or what you hear and what you see is what determines your eternal destination. It's not just to sit down and the gospel is preached and then you jump up and at the end of the day you go home. No! What understanding do you have of the thing that you hear or of the thing that you see? Now that understanding will drive you to an action. When you remain not taking action, it means you do not understand what you have heard. Because of unbelief. That's what it means. Because there is no way, if your mathematics teacher will teach you mathematics, and you say the formula, Bodmer's formula, your mathematics teacher teaches you Bodmer's formula, and at the end of the day, you are giving mathematics a problem to solve, and he says, half plus 1 plus 4 all over 6 times all over 3 divided by 1 all over 2. Your mathematics teacher gave you that. Is it a difficult question? No. If your teacher has taught you, the formula that you use to solve this is Bodmer's. Simple Bodmer's. And to solve it, you will write Bodmer's above. B-O-D-M. This is bracket. This is off. This is division. This is multiplication. This is subtraction. This is order you will solve this problem. If I have another one here, and I say plus, sorry. We have everything complete, isn't it? Maybe I bracket this. To make it complete. You have bracket there. This is the first thing you are going to solve. Because this bracket, you will solve it and say half times 3 over 4. You get it? Then you bring it down here. You repeat this one in plus 1 plus 4 all over. This one will also be 1 over 1. Over 6 times 2 all over 3 divided by this. Okay? Divided by 3 all over 6. Then half, you have solved it. You have solved bracket. Then division is the next thing. You come and solve this division. 2 all over 3 divided by 3 all over 6. Eh? This one called this one. This one called this one. 3 all over 2 all over 3 divided by 1 over 2. What does it give you? You will solve it like that until you will arrive at the correct answer. Okay? But if you don't understand the formula, you will glue your eyes to the something until the time will be over. Yes, somebody who had the understanding and how to apply the formula will get it. Yeah, the same teacher that taught you. That is where understanding of the gospel comes. It's the same. When you understand what the gospel is talking about, you will take an action. For example, when the Ethiopian eunuch was coming from Jerusalem, went back to Ethiopia in his chariot,
He was reading the Bible.
Isaiah chapter 55. He didn't understand it. Are you getting that? He did not understand what he was reading. He was just reading for religious purpose. But he was a committed person. But he was a child of salvation. So it's possible you are reading what you don't understand. It's possible you come to church, you don't understand. But the time will come, if you are sincere, God will send deliverance to you. Like he did to Ethiopia, you know. What did he do to him? God sent Philip to him. I said, go and join the Spirit told him, go and join yourself to that chariot. And as you will see, every seed of God, they are very simple. When it comes to a matter of salvation, they are simple. Look at Ethiopia, you know, very rich man using chariots. As at that time, you know, he was the one in charge of the wives of the king, or maybe the child in charge of the queen. That way, he was a eunuch, impotent man. Maybe it was by virtue of his office that they render him impotent, or he was born impotent. Whatever. Usually, they are made impotent to be able to take care of the queen, so that they will not feed you with them. You know. The Spirit has him join yourself to the chariot. He joined himself to the chariot. And then Philip listened to him. He was reading Isaiah chapter 55. And then Philip says, do you understand there that word that redest? That was an insult to a man of that caliber. But God had prepared the heart of this man. Say, how can I understand? Except some man teach me. Then he asked Philip to join him in the chariot. And then the Bible says Philip took from that Isaiah and he preached Jesus to him. Because that Isaiah was talking about Jesus Christ. When he preached Jesus to him, when he got to water, he was the man that told Philip and said, see water. What hindered me from baptizing? Why? He understood what Philip taught him. What Philip brought from that gospel. From that Isaiah 55, the gospels, the present tense gospels, the Bible, Peter called it present truth. Peter called it present truth. And we, as we have present truth today, the present truth is the message of the hour. So Philip presented the present truth to him. Remember, he was coming from a religious garden. From Pharisees, from Sadducees, he had gone to do the religious service and he thought it was okay going home. But God knew it was not okay. There's a new program of salvation on the land. And because it was seed of salvation, God directed salvation to him. And look at the way, what we are bringing out for you, you need an understanding of what you hear. You need it. If you hear the word of God and you remain unmoved, that gospel you have had has not benefited you. Because right there, when the gospel has a meaning to you, you will take steps. You will take steps. That is why a Christian that is filled with the Holy Spirit is not told what is wrong before he makes his way right. Because there is something in him that keeps checking his life on a daily basis. That keeps checking him. He takes the venture. He takes liberty. He does not come to church before he receives condemnation. He doesn't come to church before the gospel comes and then I won't do it again. No. The moment he's trying to put down something checks him. Because that is his absolute. He's tied to a post. If he's trying to, like I said it the other time, let me just represent it again. When you drive a stake down, you tie a goat here. Just don't mind the way I will put the goat here. You tie it on the neck of the goat. Now, the extent of this rope is where the goat can go. The goat has freedom from here to this place. But from here to this place, you know, it can only do like this. So, if you know, goat is very stubborn. He can only, if he wants to extend himself, he can go beyond here, beyond the extent of this rope. He can do like this. But the person that tied knows that. So if he does not, if the owner does not want it to go and eat something, he will put something away from that place. No matter how much he kicks, he can't go there. So he can't go beyond his boundary.
That is what the Holy Ghost is. We are not good, so Christians are not good, but I'm just using this to tell you, okay, that when you are tied to something, that if you want to move away from where you are, that will push you back. It's a strain. It pulls you back. That is the Holy Spirit. That is why a child of God, a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit in the soul, can never go away from God. Hallelujah. So you need an understanding to be able to respond to the gospel. When you respond to the gospel, then your life will be impacted by the gospel. It is when you will see the world reflecting in your life. Praise be to God. So, now this rapture that we are talking about, the prophet told us there are three stages. That is where we are. Told us that there is the shout part of it. You can give us rapture sermon. Let's look at that because our time is not. This has always been a problem. So much to say, but we can't say everything at the same time. The rapture, paragraph 130, 129. 20. Now I want you to notice a great thing taking place here. That's first Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13 to 18, that we have read it as part of the text we read. That's why I read them, so that I wouldn't be repeating the something. Now I want you to notice a great thing taking place here now. Please, let's look at it again. Let's look at, Okay, no. Calm down. Gently, no. I want to read the one below. Alright. Gently. Yes. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive, have we passed that? No. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are alive, that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend. The Lord himself, listen close, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Go on. Now I want you to notice great things taking place in here. Don't miss this. See, the word says here in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, that there are three things. Notice, from the 13th to the 16th verse, there are three things that have to happen before the Lord himself appears. Quickly now, so we can close. See, the first thing happens, notice, a shout, a voice. The second, a trumpet, the third. Let's read it now and see if that is right. For the Lord himself, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. Three things happen. A shout, a voice, a trumpet have to happen before Jesus appears. A shout. Jesus does all three of them when he is descending. So, you see it now? The message of the hour. A shout. What is the shout? It is the message going forth. First, the living bread of life bringing forth the bride. That is the message of the hour that we are listening to. And we know how it came about. According to Malachi 4, you know, verse 5 and 6, we know what it is. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He never changes. He's the unchanging God. In Amos 3:7, he said he will do nothing on the earth until first he revealed to his servants the prophet. And just as certain as he promised it, he will do it. Praise be to God. So let's hold it there. There are three things that we have. The shout is the message of that is going on. That is why the rapture is in three stages. And the rapture is on now. The first stage of it is on. The Lord himself shall descend with heaven with a shout. That shout is the message of the hour that is going on. That message of the hour, according to the scripture, God told us that he will reveal all the mystery that
the prophet of God have spoken about, when the message, when the seventh angel message shall begin to sound. We all know that. But for the sake of those who are, you know, new or somehow in our midst, the messenger of the age is in Revelation chapter, is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. That's where you're going to. Chapter 3, verse 13. That is why I say, unto the angel of Laodicea, write. Now, the message to the age of Laodicea, if you read this tree, you will understand what there are seven ages. And out of the seven ages, this is the last one that we are in. 6 ages have gone. All God promised that He was going to fulfill in the Gentile ages, He has fulfilled them. Now we are in the last one. And what God promised to restore back to us, the gospel that they preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 has been restored to us, so that the same Holy Spirit that they received then can be made available to us today. Praise be to God. Now that is what we have been talking about, that the gospel of today is the present truth. Because God has restored to us the year that the camca worm, palmer worm, caterpillar have eaten. Where the people go to church, it is just a form. If they are sincere with themselves, because we came from there. If they are sincere with themselves, they will know that they are just religious. There is no change of life. Some of them have hunger, they still remain with their hunger. And as pastors, as ministers there, they will come and tell the congregation that you cannot overcome anger. You only be praying. Everything that Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 to 21 talks about, they don't overcome it. They can't overcome it. They only use mouth to say that they are new creature because they confess Jesus with their mouth. They only say they give their life to Jesus. Jesus did not give them a portion of Himself. It's an exchange. But the other part has not taken place, but they are presuming it has taken place. Which is to receive the Holy Spirit in their soul, not speaking in tongues. So the devil has deceived them to make them to believe that speaking in tongues is the Holy Ghost baptism. And their lives, no change. The husband can still fight, can still beat the wife. The wife can still open his mouth and talk rubbish to the husband. The man can still be flirting outside. The woman can also have a man friend outside. All sorts of things. They can be liars. They can be cheats. It's all sorts of things. And yet, they say they are going to heaven. They can sing like angels. They can quote the scripture. You know, you will be ashamed of yourself. You think you don't know the scripture. When you sit down with many of them, the way they try to quote the scripture. But it's all letters. No life behind it. We came out of that. But the message of Malachi 4 tells you can do signs and wonders. You can give gifts to the poor. You can allow your body to be born in giving. You can do many other things at the end of it. If you don't have divine love, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are nothing. You are nothing. But the problem is that they don't understand what that love is. They don't know it's the Holy Ghost baptism. May God be our help. So there are three. We are talking about the shout. So let's read more about the shout. Where we stopped. We stop at, let me read to 34. Now we are coming through the church ages. But we are promised in the last days, according to Malachi 4, that there will be a return again, a prophet in the land. That's what many of them don't want to believe. Whether they believe it or not, they didn't believe that Jesus Christ will resurrect. Did he not resurrect? Did he not resurrect? Even when they carry stones and put gas there, did it stop him from resurrecting? No man, whether man believes or not, it does not stop God's work. Sebi is God. He's not man. He's not the national project. He's not the project of the federal government. He's not the United Nations project. It's God's project. Their project can fail. Circumstances can make their project to fail. But it's the Almighty God that made the promise that on the third day, before 72 hours,
Jesus Christ will come from the grave. Because you already written about him that you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will not suffer his holy name, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And after 72 hours, the corruption set into the body. And Jesus Christ was crucified in the afternoon of Friday, which is not up to 24 hours. You get it? And then he was in the grave from that time until Saturday, and then early Sunday morning, he rose up. So 24 hours on Saturday, few hours on Friday, and then the first few hours of the early morning on Sunday. Not up to 72 hours. But he fulfills 3 days as in talking about Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But in hours, God who made this body and he knew the time corruption was setting in there, he knew that after 72 hours. But he didn't allow him to be that. Because the word of God must not fail. So rapture we are talking about, that there will be a return again, a prophet in the land, that's right. Notice his nature, that's all right. God uses that spirit 5 times. That is Elijah. Now if you watch Malachi chapter 4, he talks about, behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That's a part. And the heart of the children to their fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And we know in Luke chapter 1, verse 73. We know in Luke in verse 17. When the angel was talking to John about the birth of John the Baptist, he mentioned the first part of that Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. Can you be quick to display for us? Verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Elijah is Elias. To turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Okay, go back to Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. God bless you. Behold, I will send unto you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. What did he say in Luke chapter 1 verse 17? The same thing. It was the angel that was telling John. Was it John? The father of John. Zechariah. You remember if that is about the birth of John the Baptist. So the angel visited him while he was in the service in the temple. And he told him that his wife is going to conceive. He doubted. And God said, okay, because you doubted, this is what is going to happen to you. But this child that will be born, we go in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That was John the Baptist. Fulfilling the A part of that scripture. But the B part of it, of that Malachi 4, that it says, behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. You see, comma, before and. Let me just drop something here. If you understand the rule of English, when you see a statement and a comma come before he, before and, the first part for that first statement is separated from the second one. He's standing on his own. Are you getting me now? He's standing on his own. That's the rule of English. So that comma has separated this one. It's going to be in another dispensation. And the act of the children, you see, he put comma beforehand. I bless God for that. For the grammarians, they will know that God does not make mistakes. There is no way they are going to quit. In fact, a grammarian will sit there and look at this, he will tell you that there are two different things. That there are two different things. Grammar play part here. Anyway, to those who understand what the rule of English is. And the act of the children to their fathers. It is not possible for the same person that will turn the act of the fathers to the children, will still turn the act of the children to the fathers. Because they are going to take place in different dispensations. And apart from that, what the angel said John will do was the A part. Period. Nothing more.
and he will turn the heart of disobedience to the just. That's all.
But the P part is what concerns us today. That is what that part is talking about. So let's go back to rapture.
Because our time is fast spent.
So we have this rapture already going on now. We have the shout already going. That is the message
of the hour. Alright? God uses the spirit. Let's go to paragraph 141.
You can just press it and move down. You can just be pressing it and move down.
So instead of closing the...
The first thing comes, when it starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes first. Now it's trimming light, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was that? The seventh. Not the sixth. The seventh church age. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have oil in their lamp. See? But it is lamp trimming time. In Malachi 4 time. It's Malachi 4 time. That's the B part. And he shall turn the heart of the children to the father. Now you will query, why is he Elijah? Remember, John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And that's why the first part of this place talks about God using that spirit of Elijah, you know, 5 times. Because God loved that spirit. It's a no-nonsense spirit. He uses it to restore his people. So, God has used that spirit on Elijah himself. Not the first time. He used it on Elisha with double portions. Now, he used it in John the Baptist. Now, he used it also in the B part of Malachi 4. Which is for this period. And that is why a prophet will be on the land. That spirit will work on. And that's this scripture of Malachi 4 is connected to other scriptures in the Bible. To make sure that the message that is coming through a prophet.
Praise be to God.
And the heart of the children to their fathers, it will change it. So, the message. See, what in Malachi 4 is Malachi 4 time. All those prophecies that I can perfectly set in order for this day. That it can perfectly set in order for this day. In the scripture, we see it living right there. See things happen, my dear brother, sister. When God in heaven knows I could die on this platform right now. You just ought to walk around the world. It's tremendous. When you see God come from heaven, stand before groups of men and stand there, declare himself just as he ever did.
And that is the truth.
And this Bible opens. See, we are here. And the denominational system is dead. The denominational system is dead. It's gone. It will never rise again. It will be burnt. That is what you do with the husk on the field. Flee from it. Get into Christ. Don't say, I belong to Methodist. I belong to Baptist. I belong to Pentecostal. You get into Christ. That is what the message of the hour is telling you. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you are ready for rapture. If you are in Christ, there is not a word written in here, but you will believe it. I don't care what anybody else says. And then God makes those things manifest. Because you, when he pours the Spirit upon the world, what happens? Just like putting water on any other sea, it will live. And it will bring forth of its kind.
Praise be to God. Alright? Let's go to the shout. It's like I'm spending too much time on this. Let's go to the next one is the voice. The voice is the voice of resurrection. The voice of the archangel is Jesus Christ. Because the prophet told us those three things is Jesus that did them himself. So it's the voice of resurrection that will call to the sleeping saints. And those sleeping saints have been prepared. They are part of the shout. They have heard the shout. The message of the hour. The message of that has worked upon them. He has, through the message of that, they have received the Holy Spirit. Now, their time to leave the earth has come. They sleep. When rapture now comes, God, according to what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, we that are alive shall not prevent them that are asleep. So they will be the first to rise by the voice of the archangel. That's Jesus himself. That voice that brought Lazarus from the dead. That voice while he was on the cross and he gave up the ghost. That voice when he screamed brought the Old Testament saints alive. Their graves were open, but they could not come out until he resurrected. That is the same voice of the resurrection that will bring the sleeping saints from the grave. Hallelujah. The third one, which is the trump of God, is the calling together for a feast. The marriage supper. Those are the three things. Now, you cannot partake of resurrection if you died without the Holy Ghost. You can partake of that. And if you don't partake of resurrection or the first resurrection, I mean to say, because anyhow, by and large, everybody will partake in the resurrection. But the time of partaking of the resurrection is what is important. To be partaker of the first resurrection, you have to be in the shout. The shout has to prepare you, fill you with the Spirit, and then you are ready. Whether you are still alive or you are dead, then you are done. So when the shout, when the voice of the archangel comes, then your body will respond, and then you will come down from the sixth dimension with your theophany. Then you come and pick your glorified body. You come and pick your glorified body. Why we that are alive with the quickening power in us, with the Holy Spirit in us, we will be changed into our glorified body. And we go in the air to pick our tophany body, and together with the resurrected saints, we go to meet the Lord in the air, ever to be with him. And then that is when the last, which is the trump of God, will be fulfilled, that will be called for the marriage supper of the Lamb. What are we talking about? The shout is the voice, the message of the hour. It's the one preparing you and me for rapture. He's the one telling you what to do and what not to do. He's the one telling us the way we must address, present ourselves before God, so that this word can have effect upon you and make you ready. Because, let me tell you, after rapture has taken place, this entire house has 3.5 years. Has 3.5 years. The people of the earth, they think they have time. They don't. What we are waiting for now is rapture. When rapture happens, this earth has 3.5 years. And that 3.5 years is for the great tribulation. And then what happens? What will happen after the rapture? We'll be coming for a millennium, isn't it? The millennium for 3.5 years, for 1,000 years. And after the rapture, what happens? There will be white throne judgment. God will renovate the earth. For us to come down here, there is going to be third world war after the 3 years. That everything on the high will blow up. Well, we all know that. But let's move further a little bit. Now, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to talk about, we talk about rapture, and the preparation for rapture is automatically preparation. Where? It's automatic preparation for death. Do you understand me? To prepare for rapture is to prepare for death. To prepare for death is to prepare for rapture. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, to prepare for death, to prepare to die, to be ready, you know, to know that I can now, the Lord, just like Simeon said, he said, now, the Lord, you can take me. My eyes have seen your salvation. After our eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, then we can say, Lord, let it be. Whenever you are ready for me. Now, in a situation like that, I want to look at a few things to bring the requirement for rapture. The prophet made us to know, according to 1 Corinthians that we chapter 15 that we read, there is the body change. So, when we talk about rapture, we are talking about death
And this death that we talk about takes us from here. It takes us from here. Now, the Bible told us that this earthly home, this body that we are in, is a pest house. This body is a mortal body that cannot inherit eternal life because it's corrupt. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, corruption cannot inherit incorruption. This body must be changed. This body must be changed. So this is old coat.
Thank you, sir.
This is old coat. This is a pest house. But the prophet told us that this is our pest house. One day we are going to drop it, just like I'm wearing this coat now. When I get home, I'm going to drop it. The prophet said that is how death is. That this body that you are in, that I am in, is a coat. Is a house that we live in. That the real me is inside this cloth. So that is why when a man dies, you still see the body. But you can't talk to him any longer. He cannot talk to you any longer. Something has left his body, his spirit and his soul. You get it? That has left his body. So in other words, that's a husk that is remaining. And traditionally, we fear that husk. We call it corpse. That name they gave it to, they gave it makes people to dread it. Nobody wants to go near it. And this is a man, this is a woman that you have lived together, that you have shaken hands together, that you have put mouth to mouth together, husband and wife. But once the man gives up and the life goes out of him, or the woman gives up and the life goes out of her, it becomes something fearful. You don't want to touch. The prophet said there is nothing there. It's nothing. The person is not there. That's just a husk. The prophet said if the person is left unburied, it will just decay and rot. Only that the odor will disturb the environment. The prophet told us that this flesh of mine is like the flesh of animal. Because God put man in the body like the beast body. Now, when that happens, the man has left. He has gone somewhere to go and stay. And that is the sixth dimension if he's a Christian. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 told us that after this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, after this tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting in the heavens. Now, that tabernacle that is waiting in the heavens, the prophet told us that you need a reservation to be able, so that when you live here, you find a place to enter, a body to enter. Now, if you don't have a reservation, the prophet used the word reservation, and he related to hotel, that you travel. And maybe in the night you get to that place and then you just pump into the hotel and say, oh, please, I need a reservation, a room. They tell you that it's all taken up. Abraham said, what will happen to you? You will sleep in the cold. This old earthly tabernacle, I'm reading from Things That Are To Be. It's only one. I'm reading from paragraph 106. I will not wait for you because of my time. You just pay attention. This old earthly tabernacle here, you know what it is. This body is like an old coat that you wear. A coat that you once wear. But now you have one so much better, you don't use it anymore. Which one is better? The theophany. That heavenly is theophany to the believers. Because when we live here, that's what the believer enters into. And that's what it takes to the sixth dimension. No hunger, no thirst, nothing. No pain. Alright? What do you do? You hang it in the closet. For you have got one better. You got a better coat. It's more up to date than the one you once wear. That's worn out. What? It is that garment. You are the inside of that there. That garment only did what? It burned your image. This cloth is sewn. This cloth is sewn after my physics. My physique, the way my body is.
If I'm bigger than this, this glory will be sown like that. Is that not? If I were to be a woman, it will be sown a different way. Isn't it? Yeah. So if this growth is bearing my image. You see? So it bore your images. It bore your image, see? But you don't need it anymore now. You hung it up. It's a rag. And that is the way this whole body is. You, it is a, it bore the image of the heavenly. Yet it is not you. You are on the inside of that body. You, the Spirit of God, is on the inside of that body. That is what makes the outside come into subjection. Now, I want you to pay attention now, because that is where we are actually going now. Because you have the Spirit of God inside of you, it makes this body to be subject unto what? Unto God. Alright? Now, this body is an old coat. And someday you will, what will you do with it? For you were once in this garment for a while. That is like the athlete garment. This body, your real body, your real self is on the inside of this old coat that you call William Branham or Susie Jones or whatever it is. See, someday it will hang in the heart hall of fame of memory of you in the grave. In the graveyard, that's the hall of memory of the dead. It will hang. Which one will hang there? This body, it will put in the coffin, it will be placed there. So that's why we do memorial. It will be hung in the hall of memory of you. See? You. You will put it out your land in the grave. And somebody will put a tombstone up. You see? Here lies Reverend so-and-so, or John so-and-so, or so-and-so. It will lie there as a memorial of you. This body, when you put it down. You see? The body just see you, the people just see you in this, and what you are, your real you was on the inside of that. But the old coat instead is just on the image of the heavenly. Praise be to God. Alright. So many other things that we say about that. But let me just leave that now and move forward. Now we're talking about changes. Now for us to go in the rapture, changes are very, very important. The changes must take place while we are here. At this point, I want the officers to drive everybody that is going up and down. Please, all those who are outside, let them just get seated inside. If they want to, if they see that it's storming them, let them hang closer. Let them hang closer. God bless you. I was not using any authority over you, but that's the reason we came to church. There's no way we leave this auditorium. You go out there, your attention is divided. Except you want to deceive yourself. There is no way. Yorubas okwe eti okin gomeji. You cannot, someone cannot be going over and your two eyes are looking at something there. Ojumeji ni orowa. Where your eyes are looking at, that's where your heart will follow after. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not allow the devil to deceive us. Change of our body. I mean changes are required before we can go in the rapture. The first change must happen to our soul while we are here. And that change that will happen to our soul is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The second change depends upon the change of our soul, which is in the rapture. So if our soul has not been changed and we go down by way of death, we cannot go in the rapture. Do you know why? And that's why it's tied to the rapture and the requirement for body change. The change must take place now in your soul. Now when that change has taken place in your soul, then you are going to see the evidence of it. So we want to look at the evidence that your soul has been changed. The reason is because if your soul has been changed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your soul, it will bring your body subject to every word of God. It will bring your body subject to every word of God. Now, if your body is not subject to every word of God,
Then when rapture is going to take place, your body will not be subject to rapture. Did you get what I said? The Bible says in John chapter 2, if I'm correct, he said, he that offends in one, offends in all. Does that have a meaning to me? He that offends in one, offends in all. The project is for us, James. Let's look at it. He that offends in one, offends in all. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one or one point is guilty of what? Is guilty of all. It is as good as the person breaking everything. If you keep 10, in other words, out of 10, you keep 9. Is that not? Is that my word? And that's what the Bible, the prophet made us to know, that the word of your body must be subject to every word of God, 100%. If my body is subject to God's word 99.9%, I'm a breaker of the law of God's word. If rapture takes place, I can't go. You have to understand this. We have to understand it. As I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Because the preaching is a double-edged sword. So just like the pastor will always say that the preacher that is preaching to you is also a human. There is none of us that is higher than this word. The word is higher than every preacher. The word is higher than all of us. Because the word is above all of us. We are all to come under it. That's why Paul said that. He said, after I have preached. What did he say? He said, I bring my body under subjection, lest after I have preached, I become a castaway. Of course, that's not by human ever struggling. You get it? It's not by human ever struggling. He's telling you that he also is subject to what he has preached, to live by it. Alright? So now this change must happen here. And that's why the prophet told us that when a man dies here, that death does not change your dwelling, it does not change your nature. That when a man dies, so like some people say that it doesn't apply. It only applies to comment. And it's hypocritical also. I also don't believe it. The prophet said, if you cannot appreciate a man while he's alive, so you see when he's dead, he won't hear you. Give him an appreciation while he's alive. Tell him that we appreciate you, appreciate you this. Rather than carrying a wreath and then you go and put at his grave. Anything that happens after a man is dead, he doesn't know nothing about it. And it does not accrue to him or her. Has nothing to do with that person. Whether prayer, whether fasting, ceremony, memorial that we do. And of course, we do that because they are our loved ones. We have those things. You get it? But what I'm trying to say now is that here, death does not change anybody's nature. Change will happen to him when he's going to die. Don't rest in that position. We have to struggle to lay a hold of eternal life here, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be certain that we have this Holy Spirit on our hands. We have this Holy Spirit in our soul. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you will not be subject to every word of God. You will not be subject to every word of God. Because you cannot do it. And when you cannot do it, when you are not subject to God's instructions, to the husband in relation to the wife, the wife in relation to the husband, all that the word of God says about you, you must be subject to it. You must. It's just like you must be born again. Of course, that is also saying you must be born again for you to be subject to every word of God. All right? Let me read a few things here. That does not change anybody's nature. It only change our dwelling place. Our brethren that have died now, they are not here with us. They are somewhere. We believe in the sixth dimension. They must have seen the prophet. They must have seen the rest of the saints that have gone. But here, we that we are still here, let's not presume. coming to church, sitting down in the church for a long time, does not mean that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is an experience that you must have, that you must be able to talk about. You must watch your life on a daily basis, whether you are old or you are young. As long as you understand this thing that we are talking about, you have crossed the age of 12. You are liable before God to be brought before judgment. It is expected of you to live by every word of God. In fact, the truth that you have had before now is sufficient. This is addition. The prophet told us that the man is entitled to hear the gospel once. To hear it once and that is all. If he doesn't have opportunity to hear it again, God has done his own. It's in the quote.
Alright, let me read this. I'm reading from Who is this Melchizedek? Also, we see him revealed here in truth. Who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 66. We also see him here in Ruth, revealed in Ruth and Boaz, like we had yesterday, as a kinsman redeemer, how he had to come to the flesh. Now, we see the attributes, sons of his spirit, have not yet entered into the world form body. We have not yet entered into the world form body. What is world form body? Theophany. Because we are still here physically, we are not yet dead. It is those who have died that have entered into the one form body, theophany, that they are the one in the sixth dimension. And even if they have finished their course here, their record of life has been closed. So now we see the attributes, sons of the spirit, have not yet entered into the one form body, but a theophany, this body is subject to the word, and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of this body. But look, when this body, paragraph 71, but when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, he throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that is born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8. There's no condemnation. Now, you don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ, and it's all done, it's all gone. See, because your body is subject to the Spirit. It is no more subject to the things of the world. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit, try to live a right kind of a life. Like you women claiming you God Holy Ghost and going out here and wearing shorts and things. How can you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? It is just can't be so. Certainly, it can be. It's not a feeding spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And then when you become subject to that Spirit, He throws your whole body subject to that Spirit. He throws your whole body subject to that Spirit. And that Spirit is nothing in the world, but this seed word made manifest. You see? Or quicken. Hallelujah. Made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. That body quickly turns to it. There is no question. And what is it? It is the earnest of the resurrection. It is the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. How? Be subject to the world while we are here. But if it's not, if the world is not having the lordship over somebody's body, if the person dies and is buried and all ceremony performed and every other thing, and at rapture, when that voice will speak, that body will not be subject to the voice. So, because while alive, that body is not subject. And that's what the prophet told us. Death does not change your nature. The nature that a man dies with, that nature he will resurrect with. It is a serious something. You, as a person, you have to watch your life in light of God's word. If you want to go in the rapture, that's all it. If you want to go in the rapture, you have to watch your life in relation to God's word. Everything that the word of God says. Sorry. Okay. You know, paragraph 75, same sermon. All right.
You know what the earnest money is, don't you? It is the down payment. It was wounded for our, he was wounded for our transgression, with the stripes we were healed. Now, how wonderful we love him. Now, this body is subject to the spirit. In the same sermon who is this Melchizedek, you see the emphasis Abraham is making. And he made very strong statement that he said it's only the predestinated that are considered in redemption. Then he keep emphasizing that your body must be subject to the entire world. Now, this body is subject to the spirit. Have not yet entered into the... Okay, we have read that. Perfect faith. Just a single sermon. Paragraph 114. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith and meets substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creation in Christ. There, now you are getting into bright material. See, you are getting into rapturing conditions. Now, that means for each one of us, not just the pastors, deacons, trustees. That means for the lady, every individual works in a war with God alone. You see, that's why you are an individual. Don't look at somebody and say, "I will follow this pattern of that person." Don't do that. Follow the example of the word. Don't make anybody your example. You will make serious mistake. Because no human being, no minister, no church member is, whether poor or rich, whether educated or illiterate, is made an example to anybody. If you make anybody your example, you will fail. Do you know that the prophet even made us to know that God can allow your pastor to make mistakes to give you a trial? So if your pastor makes mistakes, and that's talking generally to ministers, it could be any minister, whether in or out, can make a mistake to give you a person a trial. You see, and now if you now take that person as an example, what happens to you? You will go back and say, "Kosi Christianity, you run in one back." That's why you must be certain of what we are talking about. Look, the evidence that you are going in the rapture is just that you see your body turning to what the word of God says. And it's not you that will be doing it. It is that spirit that will be doing it in you. Alright? That means for each one of us, not just the pastor, deacons, trustees, that means for the lady, every individual works in a war with God alone. You are baptized into this kingdom, and there is nobody in there but you and God. You see, that is an individual affair. See, he gives the orders, and you pack them out. You see, God, after filling you with the spirit, he gives the order and you pack them out. You don't, if your body is not subject to God's instructions, my relationship with any member of the church, my relationship with my neighbors, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my co-workers, my relationship with my God, it has to be by the word. It has to be what the word says. Information that I will hear from anybody, I have to follow what the word of God says about it. If my body is not subject to what God says about that, then I cannot go in the rapture. Because if you break one word of God, what does the Bible say? You are guilty of all. You see, most times it is the big thing that we are looking at. We gossip, we babite. What does the prophet call it? He called it sulfuric acid. Sulfuric acid. What is sulfuric acid? What does it do? Destroys. That's what sulfuric acid does. You get information from me, you get information from this. You are polluting the heart of the camp. You are polluting the camp. We must be delivered from these demons. And I want to tell you that gossiping and bybiting, putting man in a matter that does not concern you, jumping into conclusion of a matter that you don't have substance about. Somebody will give you information and you spread it as if you are CNN. Some people, it is new. It is like the Berean bread. Say, is it Berean? The people that hear good news, they hate it. They like to hear new things. Once they hear good news, they are ready to spread it. Like that guy in the Lamb of David, who was running without a message.
Was it not his grace? When he got there, David asked him and said, what happened? He said, well, I was just seeing people coming. And he used to bring good tidings. So, but this time around, he didn't bring any good tidings. He was brushed aside. And then they were expecting the better information from Kenny. Now we are talking very seriously. This is not a joke. You see, that is why the message of the hour is different from denomination. Anything goes in the denomination. Anything goes. But what Malachi 4 is to produce sons and daughters of God that are heaven focused, that are not going to trade any pleasure, that's not going to trade any material things for this eternal life. Because this eternal life, it is called eternal life that has no beginning,
that has no end.
It's not only that we are going to live eternally without dying. There's going to be joy. There's going to be happiness. There's going to be peace. There's going to be the glories of God. The things that this the richest people on the earth, what they have not enjoyed, is what we are going to enjoy. God has prepared, He has promised a mansion for each of us. That is the streets are built of pure gold. You can think about that. Pure gold. Look at the value of a gold. Let's say, what is 1 kilogram of gold? What does it? Quality gold, pure gold. What's the worth of it? It's a whole lot of money. But the street will be pure gold. What about the wall of the building? What about the material thing that will be there? It does God. It's not a fable. It's a reality. It's a reality. Because John saw it descending from heaven. Yes, it's written in this Bible, and we know it's true. We know it's true. We are waiting for it. One of these days, as we are gathered here, one of these days, what we are talking about, the first class today will come. But it is only those who go in the rapture that will be partaker of that. But to go in the rapture, our body must be subject to every word of God. He gives the order, and you pack it out. You see? Whatever he says, there is no doubt, there is no shadow of doubt, nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there is nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you are coming to perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That's right. Praise be to God. Let me read this also. We'll be closer. But now, that is it. The prophet told us that now that the seeds are open. Now that the seeds are open, the prophet said, the Spirit of God directs us to the truth. It directs us to the truth. It directs us to, and the word of God is the truth. So in everything that we want to do, we have to consider God's words. Just like we had it quoted yesterday, in everything that believers do, they have to consider God's word first. Because in all that you do, in words and in action, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? Now, it is the rising of the sun. Just bear with me. I'm not taking you beyond the normal time. But now, the next thing will be you. It is the rising of the sun. I'm reading 119. Now, when you get the dynamics, you have been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the word. It makes the body, this body, to be subject. Now, the only way the body can be subject is for the soul to have been changed. When the soul is in the spirit, when the Holy Ghost is in the soul, the Holy Ghost is here. He has power because he's the master of this house. He's the power of the Spirit of God. It will strengthen your spirit. You strengthen the spirit, it will strengthen this body. That's why it says that if the Spirit of God be in you, will quicken your mortal body. This is a mortal body. This mortal body. The Spirit of God in us will quicken this mortal body. It will make it to respond to the righteousness that the Word of God says. It will make it to resist the unrighteousness that the devil will suggest to us. So it will, because that is why that Spirit is given, is to keep the Christian in a redeemed condition. We have heard about redemption yesterday. How he came to redeem us is by shedding of his blood and sending the Spirit upon us. And then keep us in that condition so that we can go in the rapture and live with him eternally. You see? Now look. You were once dead in sin and trespasses and darkness, and he has quickened.
What by?
His spirit that raised up Jesus on Easter morning from the dead. And if he dwells in your mortal bodies, now watch, it also quickens, brings life, makes it subject to the world. Now, how can you claim to have that spirit and throw yourself away from the world? You are quickened by something else. It will quicken your mortal body to the world. 215. If the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, oh, hallelujah, it will quicken your mortal body. It will make you do things you didn't do before. They were full of quickening power. Your body ain't subject to sin no more. You, your desires. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, and you cannot have the Holy Spirit until you have truly repented of your sins and you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. God filling you with His Spirit. That is when. Then think. I'm reading from 6504:24. I told you. Don't worry. 6504:24. Think of it. You are then not yourself. You are a new creature. Or the Greek, they are means a new creation. You've been recreated again. The power of God comes upon you and you become created, a new creature. We bring the old physical being, spiritual being, and everything in subject to the word of God. Not no more, no other way. How can you say that you are a Christian and disobey the word in one thing? You see? To disobey the word in one thing. Now what I'm saying now is also dependent upon the discernment that you have of it. I said initially, your understanding of what you hear will benefit you. But if what I'm saying now does not mean any meaning to you, it's not going to benefit you. But the reason why God preaching, why he sends the preacher to preach the gospel, is not for that preaching to go back to him void. It's that you might hear it, if you were a Christian, to do what? To make you a better Christian, to appreciate God. And if you are not a Christian, to make you to be ashamed of yourself until you will want to become a Christian. Because if a man misses rapture, it would have been better that person was not born. Like in those days I used to preach about, I will say it would have been better if the person came as an animal. Animal doesn't, they are not going to face judgment. Every work of a man's hand, you are going to face judgment. Here, you will face judgment as a believer. And that is what you are hearing. Judgment begins in God's house, isn't it? It is here you are receiving your judgment. You want God is judging you now so that you not be judged at the white throne judgment. So your understanding of that will make you to take an action so that you will escape the white throne judgment. Which anyone in the message of the hour now that is hearing what we are hearing now, that will not be in the rapture, will face the white throne judgment, and there is no opportunity for that person. Like Brother Sam said the other day, this is the only chance that we all have is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or we perish. There is no alternative. There is no way out. We have to wake up. We have to know what we are doing. This is Easter time. Jesus Christ came. We have Easter because of what? Because of redemption. It is the purpose of Jesus to come and redeem us so that we can be his representative. And he gave us the conditions there. How we can go in the requirement for body change. For your body to change in resurrection, and for your body to change while we are alive here, your soul must have changed. That's the condition for body change. Your soul must have been changed, and the changing of your soul is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If rapture takes place now, if your body is not subject to this war, when the rapture come up either, comes that voice comes for, this body will not be subject to it. Because the soul is not subject to the word in the first instance. It is not dead. It will be subject. It's not at death that you'll be subject. It's not now that you'll be subject. It has to be subject. You have to have the evidence with you, the earnest. You have to have the talking
with you
to be able to go. May the Lord be our help. Let's bow down our heads. Holy Word.
not joking. We are talking true. This is reality. This is the gospel. And this opportunity of the Easter meeting must not elude you. You must take a decision. Decision that God will sanction for you. Decision that will bring a change. Decision that you will remember and say from that time. During that 2023 Easter meeting, from that day onward, my life was changed for the better. The changes I didn't witness before, I began to witness it. Altar call was made yesterday. You are at liberty on your seat to take decisions. If you feel you want to come to the altar to pour your heart before God, you know that you claim you have the Holy Ghost, but your body is not subject to God's word. You are deceived. This is the time that that change of our soul can take place. It is now. It's not any other time. Don't postpone it to tomorrow. It's now. It's not tomorrow. It's now. It's not tomorrow. Jesus Christ is here to give unto you whatsoever you desire from Him. It's now. It's not tomorrow. That body change must take place. That body change must take place. You must witness it. You must experience it. You must have a testimony of it. That's why the prophet said it is an experience. You will see it. Your body be subject. The word of God says this. You don't argue with it. You just see you are packing it out. You just see you are packing it out. He said, love your enemy. You see that happening. Forgive those who offend you. You see that happening. If that is not happening to you, you need God to touch you. When Jacob met the Lord on that lonely night, he wrestled there alone. But in the morning light, he was a changed man. It didn't take him several days. It didn't take him 3-4 days because he was determined. He met the Lord. It was once. And he worked different from that moment. It was a touch of Jehovah. Oh, may God deliver us from unbelief. That is once, if we come with right attitude, if we come with the right understanding, yes, God is obligated to fulfill His promise. That body changed for rapture and for resurrection must take place now. What you are doing now, you are judging the word of God by what you have heard. You are looking at your life, you are looking at God's word, then you are taking a decision. You are either judging that God is right, you are wrong, or you are saying you are right, God's word is wrong, or you are confirming that God, I thank you. Three things. I thank you because this is what I am. Your word is confirming me. It's a great opportunity. You lie, you cheat, you steal, you live in fornication, you live in adultery. You are full of deceit, you are full of hypocrisy. You will see people physically, you will laugh with them. Behind them, you say evil things about them. Hypocrisy. Your body is not subject to God's word. If that body or if your soul is not changed now, I doubt. If when rapture comes, that body will change. You are judging yourself. You are judging God's word. Or you are confirming God's word. The opportunity is there. Pray to God. If you know that you are a sinner, you know you are giving your life to Jesus once, you are going for water baptism, but you have done things. You have done things that you want to keep secret to yourself. Remember, nothing is covered that shall not be made known. If it's not known here, at the white throne judgment, everybody will see it. The whole world will see the thing that you are covering.
It will come open. You have to make your way right today, make your way right with God, and talk to Him and ask Him to tell you, to deliver you from the spirits, from the influences, from the power of the devil that makes you to do those things, and that giving Him promise that henceforth you are going to live your life on Him, that it will empower you, should give you grace. If you judge God's word now, and you say, no, my life is this, and it's not so, remember, in the day of judgment, you are going to face it. There's no hiding place. Are you subject to your husband? Or are you the one that rules your husband, that rules the home? It is what you say in the house that the final. You are not going to the rapture, sister. You have to be, that has to be plain to you. You are not going in the rapture. In fact, you are going nowhere. You are not born again. Because you will be subject to the word of God. The prophet said, the Bible said, the woman should obey her husband in everything, not in unrighteousness. But where a woman is the one ruling, whatever that woman says is what must take place, is what must happen. You have Roman Catholic spirit. Iron disposition. It's only God that can help you. It's only God that can set you free. He can set you free. He can deliver you. He can touch you and transform your life. He's the only one. That's nobody. He's the only deliverer. He delivers both the captive, both the lawful captive and the unlawful captive. Because he's the only deliverer. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Judge yourself. Condemn yourself. Watch your life. Don't justify yourself before the great, righteous and holy God. Don't justify yourself. That was Elihu was telling Job. You are justifying yourself. You are blaming God. Don't justify yourself. No man can stand justified before God. Just ask for mercy. Ask for mercy. Ask for His grace. His grace, His mercy, to bring transformation to your life, to give you quickening power, that will make your body subject to God's word, that will change you entirely, that will make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Talk to the Lord. Don't sleep. Don't doze. Don't be passive. It's a serious moment. I want you to know that God is here. The angels are here. Because this is His will. Talk to Him. Talk to Him from your heart. If you are sleeping, wake up. Expose your life to Him. Tell Him to give you deliverance. Tell Him to give you liberation. Tell him to give you deliverance. He's the only one that can deliver. Give us strength, make us cool in this war where we rule. The word of God, we guide us home. That is what the word is doing. It's guiding you home. Take the instructions. Take the instructions. The word is guiding you home. Is guiding you home, making you ready, preparing you. This is the shout. This is the shout. For you to partake of that rapture, this is the shout. This is the first stage. For you to partake of the second stage, your body must be subject. That is why Jesus came. That is why there is a resurrection. This is the reason. Give me strength, make me go in this world.
the Lord, bow your heart out unto him. This is a one-time opportunity. This is the prayer. Talk to God on your own and be sure when you leave this place, something has taken place. When you leave here, whether you are here in the altar or you are there on your seat, talk to God. Let something happen. And if you meet business, why are we hand over to the servant of God and we pray? You can still continue praying until something happens. This is Easter. We are witnessing resurrection. This is one of the evidences of his resurrection, that your life will be subject to every word of God. That is it. That you can say that I know my Redeemer liveth. The word of God is ever true. He has power to transform. He has power to change. That is what he uses. Faith comes by hearing. We are hearing God's word. The faith that will drive unbelief away from your heart. That will develop your love. The love of God in your heart. That will make you to hate Satan and his works and his kingdom. That will make you to ask for mercy and pardon.
Believing that the heart of those in the altar is in the right condition. If you also, you are in need of God, you are there on your seat. If your heart is in them conditions, as it was in the house of Cornelius, when they were hearing the word of God, they were not justifying themselves. They were saying, oh God, we didn't know. Oh God, forgive us. Oh God, forgive us. They were changing. They were repenting of their sins. They were asking for mercy. If you are like that, you are on your seat there, and those on the altar, will you raise up your hand and ask God for help? That God, I need your help. And if you are on your seat and you just need God's help, you want God to help you out, will you also raise up your hand? While I will ask you to stand on your feet, while those on the altar remain the way they are. This is not to ridicule anybody. It is to give you a heart of surrender. To let you look unto God. To let you know that the reason of the gospel is to change your life. Is to transform your life. Is to make you ready. To give you a focus that rapture is ahead. And for me to be a partaker of that rapture, I must live by every word of God. And I cannot do it myself. It has to be by that spirit
that Jesus promised that will come upon the believers. And on the basis of this, I'm surrendering myself. Come and fill me with the Spirit. That henceforth, no part of my body will resist your word. My soul, my spirit, my body will be dominated by your word. You will have preeminence. If that's your desire, will you raise your hand?
Gracious eternal Father, Lord, we have come to your table this morning where you have spread the manna for this our age. We are grateful to you, O God, for this wonderful manna that is a full course menu. Lord, is even richer than the angels' food. Lord, because it is you yourself, the very bread of life, that you have given yourself unto us and invited us to come and die. We have come this morning, and Lord, the windows of heaven have been opened, and you have poured forth your blessings. And your children, O God, after hearing your word, some at the altar, majority on their feet, even with their hands up inclusive. Lord Jesus, you spoke in the days of your flesh that whosoever will not be ashamed of me and of my word. Say, I will also not be ashamed of such. I will confess his name before my Father and the holy angels. Dear Lord, your children have taken side with you, O God. And they are determined, O God, to yield themselves and to surrender themselves unto you completely. Lord, that your word, O God, might be activated in every nook and corners and crannies of their system, from the soul to the spirit and the body, that Lord, for every instruction that comes from your mouth, their body will yield to it. Dear Lord Jesus, since you have said that whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. And Lord Jesus, we know that this coming is with determination, is with sincerity, which we believe your children have come with, O God, this morning or afternoon. Lord Jesus, you that have access to the heart of your people, you say it is the responsibility of the preacher to preach the gospel. It is your own duty to put the word that is preached into the hearts of the predestinated ones. We believe that, O God, the heart of everyone here is predestinated by you. And you have directed your word, O God, by your spirit into each heart, O Father. And you have rightly placed them there, dear Master. Lord Jesus, may you by your power, by this spirit, activate this word in the soul of everyone, Lord. This seed, O God, that is in every life, O God, may they come to life, Heavenly Father. Dear Master Jesus, we resist every works of the enemy, all disobedient spirit, Lord, all stubborn spirit, every spirit contrary to your word, O God. Thou who art a consuming fire, may you consume them, Heavenly Father. Help us and give unto us that soft heart, O Lord, that at all times is in readiness to be obedient to your word. Let it be, Heavenly Father. Whatsoever your children have spoken to you as individuals, which you know in detail, may you, O God of heaven and earth, turn their requests and desires to testimonies to the glory and the honor of your name. Let it be, eternal Father. Make today a great testimony day for them, Lord, that henceforth, O God, it will be a reference point, O God. Lord, that today something definitely happened in their life. Let it be, eternal Father. May none of us go as we came back, as you came, Lord. May there be something, O God, that will take place in every soul that will cause, O Jehovah Master, a reawakening, O Father, in the soul of everyone. Let it be, Heavenly Father. May this word, O God, take effect in every life, Lord. May there be no single act, O God, that will be repelling it, O Jehovah Master. Grant it, King of Glory. Blessed be your wonderful name. Lord, if there be sickness also in this audience, O God, your word say you sent your word and they healed them, Father. Lord, may the presence of the Holy Spirit drive away sickness and affliction from the body of your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you for your servant that you have used, Lord, having found grace in your sight to yield himself unto you. We are grateful unto you. Dear Father, Lord, as he has watered your people, may you water him back, Lord. Restore strength back unto him, O Father. The virtue that, O God, has gone forth in the course of ministration, may you recall him back, Heavenly Father. We ask you to lift up the honor of his ministry. Lord, may you bless him double fold of the blessing I have been to your people, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Lord, we are looking up unto you for tomorrow. Lord, which will be the last day, O God, of these Easter services. Dear God, we are not looking up unto man. We are only looking up unto you. You are more than able, O Father, because one time, Lord, you even close, O God, the mouth of lion. Lord Jesus, and you can close mouth anytime, dear Father. We pray, O God, that whatsoever is not profitable for your people, close the mouth of your servant to them, Lord. The things, O God, that will lead to deliverance, blessing of commitment, Lord, blesses, O God, may they proceed forth, Lord, from your throne. May you anoint your servant specially. Prepare him, dear Father. What is needed in the life of your people, may you put them in his heart, O God. Lord Jehovah Master, take him away from his own self and let it be your will in our midst, Father. Thank you, King of Glory. Lord, in a short time we depart back to our home. You are the one that brought us today, O God. May you take us back home safely. Lord, prepare us for tomorrow's service, Lord. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Once again, your servant at Ure Village, be with him and be his strength, Lord, and make use of him to bless your people, O Father. Your servant in Ghana, we pray you continue to strengthen him, Father. Thank you, righteous Master. Blessed be your wonderful name. Those who have traveled to Akure, watch over them, Father, and bless the services there, Lord. By the time, O God, all of us unite together, may we have recourse to rejoice and praise your holy name. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and granting our petition. Lord, the faith that takes no for an answer, may you give to everyone, dear Father. May the devil not have access to pick any of these things out of our heart, dear Father. Thank you, righteous Master. You are the one that created earth around you. May you create a spiritual barrier, Lord, to barricade the enemy away from your people, dear Father. That every blessing you have blessed us with, they be permanent in our life. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you richly. We are grateful unto God for this privilege to be in church for the Easter period. Okay. Now I was back in the boat, but I know that we took about 5 minutes or so listening to the lectures of mathematics. If you are the one that there is nothing on that one before you are learning it today, then you go and pay lesson fee to the doctor lecturer. When we are preparing for service, I roll out some titles for him. He said that they are not applicable. So when he begin to do the in my heart, I see the thing. See what we are saying before. So may the Lord be our help. God bless you richly. Yeah, we have with us some few visitors, Sister Bamboche Stera and children. Well, I'm sure that majority will know her. That is Sarah Niakisanya. That is Amos Akisanya's senior sister. God bless you. You are welcome. God bless you. We also have Akisanya Morolake. God bless you also. You are welcome. God bless you. And that should be part of the Akisanya family. We also have with us Sister Sandra. I was looking at the face. I was wondering whether she's the one or not, because in the person I was looking at, look at an old woman. But I was wondering, can it still be the Sandra we know or another one? Wow. God bless you. You are welcome. Maybe we don't know her. You don't know her? What? That is Sister Deborah's daughter. Stand again and let them see you. That is the center of food now. It's never changed. What? God bless you. You are welcome. It's because time don't fly. God bless you richly. If there be someone that we did not introduce, it's not intentional, maybe you are taken as old timer, whatever. God bless every one of you. The pastor we spoke just before the service, he sent his greetings to everyone. He has become both a host and a guest in Northern Ghana. His host also has something to do around Accra. So they were to fly together yesterday morning. But unfortunately, the host missed his own flight. While he entered the flight and went. So, the next flight was fully booked. The next flight was fully booked. So throughout yesterday, the host never surfaced. And it's supposed to be the host. So it's the pastor that have been himself and another minister that is to come from Canada to Nigeria. They are to share the services. And as at the time we are talking this morning, both the host and that other minister, none of them have surfaced yet. So he said they will be preaching this morning and also be blessing a wedding. And then we don't know how they may. I said, well, just brush your Bible and the quotes because it might be the single guest preacher throughout. We never can tell. May the Lord be our help. God bless you richly. I want to remind us that tomorrow we are expecting Nwanje. Is will come in tomorrow morning with his wife and some of the children, and then we'll go back hopefully after the services of tomorrow. We're having two services tomorrow. We have one like this, the second one, our normal afternoon time, 2 o'clock. Once it's finished, we take it. So let us remember that apart from the two offering for morning and evening, you will look at where all those envelopes. Now the naira is now, is it not? Is it not? It's better than before now. So you take extra something because of the love offering, and God loves a cheerful giver. This is that we used to be called. Anytime you ever talk about money like this, you just see inspiration just go down. May God be merciful unto us and deliver us from stinginess. Now only a yele, they say that mwamwa la pa yele ma. When you give, it will come back. Oh, that is what the scripture says. Saint Luke said, when you give, it will be given back to you. It's a great measure, press down. The one that will return will be bigger than the one. That is how it does. But when you begin to push 1,000 naira down, the next one is 500, you push it down. 200 is too big until you get 100 or. That's why somebody said that this 500 naira note and 1,000, it doesn't think they can go to heaven. You see, because they know they come to church. They don't come to church. You see, 200 naira, 100 naira, they're the one that comes to church. Because those are the ones that is for offering. May God have mercy upon us. But if the highest money you have is 200 naira, in God's sight, it might be like 10,000 naira. May the Lord be our help. God bless you. I say God bless you. Let's sing and hymn before we dismiss. No other service again today. This is coming to the end of the service. 101, when I survey the wondrous cross. Severize.